for this is the word of the Lord. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. This past week, for 2 days, my wife and I had the privilege of attending a pastor's and pastor's wife's retreat at the Cove, which is just down the road from here, exit 55, just, you know, 30 minutes away. And we were so richly blessed by the speaking of Jim Cimbala, who is the pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York. And his lovely wife, who is there, and she's the 6-time Emmy Award winner that leads the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Oh, it was so rich, and it was so beautiful. And during that time, of course, Billy Graham's name got mentioned a few times, as you can well imagine, because he and his wife set that place up more than 30 years ago as a place of rest and relaxation, but also of challenge and engagement in God's Word. And so we felt very rested, but also challenged in beautiful ways. And one of the things that Jim Cimbala said is that later on in life, they asked Billy Graham if he had any regrets, and he said, "I wish I had prayed more." Now, that's saying something for Billy Graham, right? Because there's a guy, you got to figure, he'd been doing a lot of praying. And yet he said, "I wished I had prayed more." Now, Jesus is challenging us in the scripture today that we won't have that regret at the end of our life, that we didn't pray enough. In fact, in the scriptures, Paul says, "Rejoice always and pray constantly, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So we need to pray more. And I think that these words of Jesus here, ask, seek, knock, are a reminder to us that we are to have that humble stance toward our Heavenly Father, and that we need to continually ask and seek and knock. For in the Greek, that is the tense. Always be asking, always be seeking, and always be knocking. Sounds tiring, doesn't it? I mean, how do you even do that in your sleep? Do you pray in your sleep? I saw a little nod over there. When I go to bed at night, I say, "Lord, may my dreams be filled with you." You know, we can have insomnia sometimes, or we can have our minds that are racing, and they're all over the place. And just to say before you go to sleep, "Oh God, calm my heart, grant me rest." The scripture says in the Psalms, He grants His children rest. He protects them while they are at sleeping. We are in the most vulnerable place when we're sleeping, would you not say? And what a beautiful thing to know that our Father watches over us. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus says we should ask. We ought always to ask. We should be continually asking. Well, Jesus, I don't get it. Make up your mind here. Because just a few verses before this, he says, your Heavenly Father already knows what you need before you ask. It's like, well, why should I ask if he already knows? Because this is not about him. This is about us. It's about you. And it's about me, that we find ourselves in that place of humble reliance, as I mentioned before, the prayers of the Puritans. I am all need, but thou art all supply. Jesus is reminding us that we should always be praying because it shows that in utter humility we recognize that we need God. He is the one who upholds life. He is the one who grants us breath. He is the one that feeds us. He is the one that puts a roof over our head ultimately. And He is the one in whom we find redemption and true meaning in life. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet lose his own soul? How do we find our soul? We find it by giving it away. We find it by living in utter and complete reliance upon our Heavenly Father, who gives us everything that we need. One of the commentaries talked about the fact that if your child is at home and you're sitting in the same room with them, that child can ask you, "Hey, Mommy, can I have a glass of milk?" Ask. Now, seek. Well, if you're not in the same room, then maybe your child is going to have to go seeking you, looking for you. "Hey, Mom, where are you?" I don't know if you have rules in your house about yelling. We didn't yell in our house. We just said, just look for us if you don't see us. But the idea is that a child can ask if you're immediately there, seek if they don't see you, and perhaps you're in your bedroom. And we taught our kids to respectfully knock at the door. We are accessible to our children. Our Heavenly Father is accessible to us. Sometimes He's right there and we feel Him so viscerally. Sometimes we have to seek Him because we don't see Him. And sometimes it seems as though He is hidden in His room. And we have to always knock. There are times, I'm sure, when you have experienced in your life that it feels like you're knocking and you're not getting an answer. And it makes you wonder why Jesus could say, "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." And yet, in your experience, you're not finding. You're not getting. You feel like the heavens are as brass. Are my prayers even getting through here? God, I want to assure you, the promise of Jesus Christ is that He hears us. And as I've mentioned from this pulpit before, prayer is not some sort of magic talisman. Put the money into the machine and get what you want. No. First of all, your Heavenly Father will give you that which is good for you. Not just whatever you want. You can ask for an A in a class, and if you don't do any of the homework and you get an F instead, you could say, "Oh, God doesn't answer prayer." Hello. There's something missing there, right? Or you can ask to become rich and prosperous. Sometimes God's answers to your prayer are yes. Sometimes His answers to your prayers are no. And sometimes it's wait. Wait. Trust in Me. I will deliver in just the right time. Now, we're impatient. Let's be honest. We live in that kind of a culture, don't we? Pop it in the microwave, pop it in the toaster. We want instant gratification. That is not the narrative of the Scriptures. That is not the gospel. Slow and steady, maturing, being sanctified by the Spirit's work in our life over a lifetime. From glory to glory, He's changing me, the Scripture says, the likeness and image of Christ to perfect in me. And you know, even if you become a follower of Jesus as a child and you live to be 100, there is still that moment when you close your eyes on this side and you will be made complete on the other side. We will reach perfection, my brothers and sisters, only when we are in the presence of God Himself. Now, some people say, oh, I just don't know. Like, why should I pray anyway? Because I look around at my neighbors, and they're pagans. They don't follow the Lord. They seem to have a happy life without prayer. Why waste your time on prayer? Why even ask? Now, we've talked about this before. There's something called common grace. God is the creator and sustainer of all life. And you know, people are walking around on this planet and they don't know the Lord. And yet, He is giving them life. The very breath that they breathe, they don't realize it, that all the good gifts that they're receiving are actually from the hand of the creator and sustainer of all life. That's called common grace. We all receive that. The scripture says, it rains on the just and the unjust. In other words, if you're a farmer in India and you're a Hindu and you're planting your crops and the rains come, you can expect a harvest just like if you're a Christian here in Haywood County planting your crops. What's that called? That's called common grace. You don't have to pray for that because God, in His love for His creation, is lavishing that gift upon His people. All of His creation. He loves everyone. But now you think about the fact that not only is God our creator, sustainer, but He is also, in the scriptures, our redeemer. Think about that. And redemption requires a special type of grace, what we call saving grace. It's the kind of grace that is lavished upon us when the Holy Spirit stirs in our heart before we come to a place of repentance and new life in Christ. We must pray always, and it is appropriate for us to be praying those kind of prayers so that if you have a brother, a sister, a child, a grandchild who doesn't know the Lord, you ought always to be praying for that individual. Lord, please lavish your grace, your saving grace on the life of my daughter, on my son, my grandchild. We ought always to pray and never give up because the answers belong to the Lord. We're called to pray. He is the one that answers the prayers. And this puts us again in a place of humble reliance upon Him, utter and complete trust. The scripture says, Jesus is giving an example. He says, everybody knows that parents are going to give good gifts to their kids, right? I mean, this is ludicrous to think about it, but what if one of your sons asked for a fish? Would you give him a poisonous serpent instead? Hello. Or if he asked for a loaf of bread, would you give him a stone? Hello. No. Then he says, and you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father will give you good gifts. Okay? Now, when Jesus says humans are evil, that doesn't mean that we as parents are utterly depraved and we never give a good gift to our children. No, that's part of common grace. We give, and yet we're broken and fallen human beings. How many of you who can say, I had a great childhood, my mom and dad were wonderful people? But you don't say they were perfect. Almost any and every one of us will say, you know, my mom and dad were great people, but, and then fill in the blank. I got hurt because sometimes they hurt me in this way or in that way. And our parents are going to disappoint us, okay? They're not perfect people. And we should, in all humility, recognize that we're not perfect and we might also do stuff that might inadvertently, of course, inadvertently, I hope, hurt our own children. But Jesus is saying, given that reality of common grace in the world, where the average parent strives and longs to do good things for their child, If that's true of fallen humanity, how much more your perfect Heavenly Father will give you good gifts. Now, James says, you have not because you ask not. I think that's interesting. You have to ask in faith. And you have to ask in belief. And you have to want to receive the thing that you are asking for. Right? Ask and you will receive. Well, sometimes I find myself not asking for something because I don't want to receive what it is that I'm asking for. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to get too particular here, but think about people who struggle with addictions, whatever that addiction is. And they kind of want to pray that God will remove, you know, the addiction, but they secretly, in their heart, they just want to hold on to the comfort that they get from that addiction. You have to ask in faith. If you really don't want to let go of that thing that's got a hold of you in your life, and yet somehow you pay lip service to the Father, like, oh God, please remove that. He wants to get to our heart. He wants to get by the Spirit into the place where we are willing to release that. And I think when we're willing to release those things that grab hold of us, and that could be our pride, or it could be materialism, it could be any number of things, when the Holy Spirit works so deep in our heart that we're willing to give up those things, He surely is going to be answering that prayer because we're ready to receive. Ask and you will receive. But first we need to come to the place where we're ready and willing fully to receive that. Now James talks about the fact, as I said before, you have not because you ask not. But he says, and some of you are asking with wrong motives. God's not going to give you stuff or answer your prayers if your motives are wrong. Because the stuff, the thing, whatever that is so much less important to Him than your heart. God, by His Spirit, wants to move to the deep places of our hearts, our motives, and the Scriptures are given to us to discern the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Doesn't the Scripture say in Hebrews, it is a two-edged sword, cutting to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart? My brothers and sisters, and that is why we read the Word every day as followers of Jesus Christ. And it's why when we come together on Sunday that we hear the Word of the Lord. Because there is a special grace in the hearing of the Word of the Lord that seeps into the deep recesses of our hearts. So let us always ask the Lord to soften our hearts to His Word. And let us always be praying. Always be in that place of recognizing our need. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Keep on seeking, and you will find perhaps that pearl of great price, the essence of the kingdom, and more importantly, the King Himself. Knock, and keep on knocking, because He will answer. He will answer you, and He has answered you if you have come to faith in Christ, where He has said, I stand at the door, and He is the one that's knocking. And anyone that would open the door, I will come in and fellowship and sup with them, and He with me. If any of you here have not yet opened that door to Jesus Christ, I challenge you to do so. And you know, Jesus is keeping on knocking. Because there are areas of our lives where we kind of keep the doors shut. And Jesus wants to be the Lord of our life. Not just part of it, but all of it. So let us always keep in mind that He wants us to be in communication with Him. So Billy Graham said, I wish I had prayed more. Now there are lots of different types of prayers, right? There's prayers of adoration and of confession and of thanksgiving and supplication. And I have sometimes stumbled over that verse that says, you ought always to be praying. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. How on earth can you pray constantly? Right? Well, you know, we breathe constantly, don't we? And we're even somewhat maybe unaware or unconscious of the fact that we are breathing, but we are constantly breathing. Inhale, exhale. My brothers and sisters, I challenge us to let our prayers be like that. In everything that you do, in your waking, in your sleeping, in your coming in and your going out, be aware that you need your Heavenly Father and live with that, with a song of praise on your lips at all times, crying out to Him in special times when you're in a deep place or you're interceding for someone that you care for so deeply. Let us be praying constantly in all that we do. Let us have the attitude of prayer and this constant communication with the Lord. As you work and as you do whatever it is that you do, think about that this week. I pray that you would challenge yourself to have that mindset, to always be thinking about the Lord.